Morning.
Hope you're doing well this morning. Oh man, we're gonna talk about gratitude, being grateful. What are you being grateful for? It's always good to be grateful for every time of the year, exactly this time of year. Really grateful. Got to hang out with Corey, Patricia, and Jay yesterday. They was at Kroger and you know, picking up some goodies and stuff. You know, I'm gonna tell you, but it's also good that they didn't recognize me. You know, I used to see me wearing my cap, but I had my toboggan on, and Jay walked up on me and walked past me, and I just looked at her. She's not going to say nothing, is she? She's not going to say nothing. And then she turned around, walked over past me, looked at me, and I said, Jay.
Oh, I didn't know it was you.
I said, oh, man, it's fine. I can get away with, you know, and everything. And so I thought that was really cool. Yes, sir, you can come in.
Should I hit the door?
Yeah, should I
go
in?
The door is stuck.
Yeah. And then I was over in the graveyard. I'm like, I'm going to make some chili tomorrow. And who comes around the corner? There's Corey. She don't see me. We're standing right there looking at the gravy. You don't see me.
So focused. He came up after a woman that was in front of me, and I was focused. I was thinking, oh, those are really small gravy bottles. They don't have anything larger than that.
I'm looking like.
And then all of a sudden I hear, oh, I hope you get enough of me.
So it was fun, but grateful to be there. Those guys picking up the baskets and stuff. It was fun hanging out with them. Really just grateful for the work that he put in. Also grateful for the young man that's doing community. Kevin and Parker. Yeah. Things to be grateful for, you know. I think Jesus said something about, you know, he did not come to serve. I mean, did not come to be served, but he came to serve.
Right.
I think a lot of us like to be served a lot, don't we? But if we're going to be like Jesus, what we have to be like? We need to always look to what? Serve one another always.
Yeah.
Man, so I'm just grateful for how everybody's serving and getting in there. Really encouraged by that. You can turn your Bibles over to 1 Samuel chapter 25. Great story. We're going to be there. And also, you can park a finger, or if you got one of these little tab things, I love this Bible. Got these long, I got two of these tabs, like a few things. And you can take one of the other tabs and put your finger over, and I think Mark 5 is where we're going to be also. But we're going to start with 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 25, and talk about being grateful. I am so grateful for a lot of things, just family, friends, things that God has done, the way God continues to provide for me and just love me and just takes care of me. And I really am grateful for
that. Amen.
You know, one of the things I'm grateful for is protection. A lot of times we put men in the category of the men's job to protect and provide. But I know plenty of women who protect and provide. Yep. I know plenty of married women who protect and provide.
That's right.
But you know, we get disillusioned. It's the man's job to protect and provide. But you know, I'm so glad God created a helper. Amen. I think somewhere in scripture says the man who finds a wife
finds favor with God.
You got favor with who? Gotta love it. And sometimes I think we take that for granted. But, you know, it's good to have a wife. It's good to have brothers and sisters in the faith. It's good to have family. But, you know, one thing we want to be grateful for is for protection. I think we take protection for granted. Protection is defined as the action of protecting or being protected. I know my mom and dad through the years, you know, my dad was military, and you can look at like, man, he's really out there protecting the country. He did 20 years, he's protecting the family. But my mom also did her part in protecting the family, making sure that home was taken care of, making sure that the kids were getting education, going to school. She made sure everything else was being in order so that when he came home, it was okay. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
But yet my dad even served in that way. My dad even served to this way today. My dad makes some mean chili. Oh, man, I cannot make that chili for the world. I call him, how did I make that chili? And you know how it is. I cannot make that chili to save my life. So I look forward to that. You know, my dad does a lot, has all so many grandkids, and he's always serving and cooking for them and doing stuff for them. And I look at that, you know, and I learned a lot from his character that he shared with me. You know, it's not only about, you know, my mom always, you know, being the one to do it just because she's a woman, but, you know, he likes doing that. And I'm so grateful that God has put me in a position to serve in that way also. You know, I look at Cherise. Amazing woman. I love cooking and serving. Well, I just do. You know, sometimes I get tired and everything. She'll be like, take a nap. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But I love it. I got this morning, did the chili early this morning. The chili's done.
Mm-hmm. It's done. There you go.
I got up starting the fireplace this morning.
Coming over.
She's sitting up in front of now, watching me right now in front of that fireplace. It's going right now before I left. Got it done. Yes. You know, those are just things that I've learned over the years to find joy in being like Jesus.
Amen.
Just being like Jesus. You know, Jesus, like, you know, man, you need to be grateful that you have somebody to serve. Because on my way to church, and I thought about Donald and Zuma, the little care package that they got together with Nora and Sharice and everybody else for the homeless. And I saw a homeless guy up under the bridge. And you know, on that bridge, you got a bridge fenced off at. And I know that the city of Jackson, they're like, you can't, they would not allow you to congregate there. That's where they built those fences. But they started building a little homeless camp. The Hines County, Sheriff County, they ran them all out and they built that fence. Wow. And I seen that guy, I thought, wow. But this guy said, okay, he's got a grill, he's got a desk. They're like, oh, this guy set a house under the bridge. And I'm like, that's not going to last long. They're going to move him along because they would not allow him to stay like that. You know, but I have to be grateful you have a place to stay with this heat.
Yes.
Yes.
There's AC. Yeah. You know, and there's a lot of homeless people, and I've dealt with a lot of homeless people. And I think until you've been in that situation, your heart can be like, you feel bad for them. But I'm here to tell you, my experience of dealing with homeless people so long, a lot of it's choices. They've made a lot of bad choices. Now, we can help them to make choices to get out of that situation, but they're going to have to choose.
Yeah.
Like you and I. I'm just going to choose to be responsible. And we all know we hate being responsible for a lot of things. Some things I could care less about. But being grateful, man. You know, protection offers peace, security, stability. It allows you to grow and prosper in life through family, relationships, educations, career, life experience, and as a servant of God.
Amen.
It allows you to mature mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It allows you to buy land, purchase a car, become a homeowner. Mm-hmm. It allows you to come and go as you please.
Yep.
Protection allows or it gives you the freedom to choose how you should respond to the blessings of That's protection. Right. Gratitude should always be your response.
Yes.
Because God doesn't always have to protect you. But he does so out of love for you. How could you not show gratitude to a God who gives you protection that you don't deserve?
That's right.
And yet he thinks you are worthy of protecting.
Amen.
Awesome. I was looking at a show the other day. I'm always looking at stuff, documentary, and shows catch my eye. And this one show was doing another little mini documentary on the life of Noah. And I was like, you know, you have to really look at shows like, this is a very peculiar show because my mind, when I see biblical shows, my mind starts flipping scriptures.
Yeah.
I start flipping. And I even when brothers talk to me, I was talking to their brother last night. He said, man, you know, scripture says, I stop flipping my Bible because it just wouldn't be trained. I need to go behind you to make sure what you're telling me. Right?
Amen.
I am grateful that you are teaching me the word, but God said it's my job to go behind you and make sure what you're telling me is right. And so, you know, this show Noah, and he made his comment. I said, that's so true. He said, you know, mercy is God's way of holding back what we truly deserve, yet mercy is God's love of giving us what we don't deserve.
Yep.
I found that to be powerful. That represents God's protecting us. You know, over in 1 Samuel chapter 25, we're going to talk about David Nabal. Let's go start in verse 1. We're going to chapter 25. David, we're going to jump down from that verse. I'm sorry. David, Nabal, and Abigail. Three people actually in one. So let's figure out who these people are. David is the future king of Israel. He will take all the tribes of Israel and lead them to become a mighty nation. Nabal is the descendant of Caleb. I should say the descendant of Caleb, whose family is a part of the tribe of Judah. And if you remember Caleb was one of the spies who urged Israel to enter the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can make you a little prideful. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a spy for that. That's why we get the promised land. He can be a little prideful. He can be a little boastful, you know. Abigail, it says, she is the wife of Nabal, who was, they say, intelligent and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I get that, but why couldn't the brother be mentioned as handsome and wise? That's what I'm saying. But since she was intelligent and beautiful. So now we're dealing with a period where Samuel the prophet has passed. They have mourned Samuel's death. David is returning to the desert of Paran, and he sends out a request to Nabal, who owns 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it just so happened that this season is what you call sheep shearing season.
Right.
So what is sheep shearing season? Look it up. So what happens is in the spring, they shear all the wool off the sheep so that they don't overheat in the summer. And so when they do that, that's also a time for them to, guess what, slaughter the meat and process the meat and have it eaten and everything. And so David knew that this was this time that they're sharing sheep. But they were like, you know, hey, I'm sending some of my guys over there. I'm going to put a request in. Hey, would you mind, you know, send us some meat, some food, share some meat with us. You know, and so, you know, Nabal, you know, he responds a little differently. And we go to another verse 10, he responds a little differently to this request. And then 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 10, it says, Nabal answers David's servant. Who is this David? Who is the son of Jesse? That would make you think that, wait a minute, who is David? But then you're going to tell me who my father's name is. Wait a minute, hold on. So he knows a little something. Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where? You know, it's a really bad thing to show contempt for the Lord.
Yeah.
Or the Lord's anointed one. You know, it is really bad. So see, David's response. I tell you, brothers, this is why we have to pray for our hearts.
Yeah.
Because we can be like David. Verse 12 says, David's men turned around and went back, and when they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men, each of you scrap on your sword. So they did, and David scrapped on his sword as well. About 400 men went with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. I tell you, that's a fight I wouldn't be looking for. David said, okay, that's how we're going to do it. Look, put your weapon on. We're going. We're going to roll out and roll up on him.
Wow.
So David is hot right about now, and David is like, I am not feeling this. But jump with me to verse 20. So what we have here, before I get to verse 20, is Abigail and Nabal's servant, they go and report what has transpired between David's servant and Nabal. And they tell her like, hey, look, David protected us when we was out in the wilderness. He didn't steal nothing from us. He didn't take nothing from us. He made sure that nobody harmed us. He did all this for us. And Abigail's like, oh my God, what is this man of mine did? So she gets all this food together. She said, look, get everything, pack everything on, and we're going to head out. Now, you would think, wait a minute. Is Nabal not aware of what she's doing, what's going on?
Nope.
But we're going to get to that. And down in verse 20, it says, as she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending toward her. And she met him. David had just said, it's been useless. My watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belongs to him. Wow. Wow. Protection. So, do you take your protection for granted?
Come on.
Do you take your protection for granted?
Listen.
How many people have interceded for you? How many people have interceded for you when you needed it? Have you ever thought about how many people have interceded for you and you didn't know about it?
Yeah.
We always think about, you know, praying for you, praying. Think about how many people you prayed for and they never knew.
Yeah.
You're interceded on their behalf. Guess what? Man, they need protection. Something's going on. Think about how many people have prayed for you constantly, interceding for you because they can see that, oh, you need a little help. You need some protection. You know, Jesus is always interceding.
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
You know how I know this? Because guess what? Every time you pray, whose name do you pray in? Every time you submit a request, whose name do you submit in? always you're asking Jesus to please intercede on my behalf because I have a need, because I have a concern, because I'm worried. You're always asking Jesus to intercede. How many angels have Jesus sent to intercede on your behalf? We would never know until you get there. How many angels have he sent? How many people have he directed in your path through life? And maybe just now, later on, you realize that person is for a reason. I didn't get it then, but now I get it. What about family? How many family members have been deceived for you? I can tell you, when I was a young man trying to figure out life long before I became a disciple, listen to too much Public Enemy, P.E., go out of trouble, power to the people. That's how I was. I thought, I, you know, when you're young, you just think you know it all. Power to the folks. Oh, power to the people. I got in trouble at military base. Got picked up by some MPs, military police. Practicing PE, power to the people. You know, God reminds you who really has the power. Because when they locked me up, guess who they sent to get me?
Your daddy.
That's right, my daddy, who really had the power. My dad was so gracious to me. I think he found a humorous, like, you just don't know what you're doing. You're just really ignorant, man. You don't know what's going on. It's really ignorant. Because the whole time, and in this MP cell, it's not like a regular county jail. So they got these four steel walls. Okay, you can't see nobody coming in. And I'm in this thing yelling, power to the people. I'm yelling in the cell. And so finally the cell door opened. And when it opens, my dad standing at the door. You know, power to the people got quiet real quick. The power was gone. You know, I thought, wow. You know, at that moment, I didn't get it, or I flipped back. You know, at least I had somebody for them to call. To come and help me get right. Even though I was being an embarrassment to my dad, thinking I knew best. We're going to call you dad. We're going to call you protector. Smile straight now. Now, we had a conversation. It was a one-way conversation. And that's how you should go when you're a teenager, you know. You usually wait. But my dad is, you know. But I think about family who have had intercede on my behalf. I can remember being young when my dad was away. And as young men, for some reason, we think we can take advantage of women. And I never forget, we was in Fort Campbell, Fort Leonard, Missouri. And I remember my mom was trying to tell me to come in. I didn't want to come in. And I was hopping over the car. She couldn't catch me. And I never forget the words she told me, you know, when I was there. And she's like, that's okay. I'm not going to chase you. You got to come home. This I was in middle school. I never forget that. You know, and it registered then. Like, yeah, where is she going to go? You got to go home, you know. But I think about family who intercedes on your behalf when you don't know no better. You know, but the bald hair doesn't know no better. Abigail is interceding on his behalf. She met David when he's coming down off the hill of the battle with 400 men. He's coming to wipe out his whole clan and everybody that's with him. Are you grateful for those who have been interceding for you? Family and friends alike. Ask yourself, how many have interceded for you by way of prayer, by way of conversation, by way of stepping in when things got too heated? Doing something for you on your behalf, you should be grateful when somebody does that. I think about our Thanksgiving baskets. Are we not interceding for some people who are less fortunate? Probably not. What an opportunity to serve in that way, to give. To say, hey, we will be God's grace to you this Thanksgiving. We will be God's love to you this Thanksgiving. I think about that. You know, I look at here, and you know, and Abigail, we're going to go a little farther here. And we're going to jump down here. So she sees David, and in verse 23, I love it. She says, when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my Lord sent. And now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives, and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my Lord be like Nabal. And let this gift, which your servant has brought to my Lord, be given to the men who follow you. I love this. You know, providing protection is about seeing where you're wrong or seeing where somebody else has done wrong. Interceding on somebody's behalf is helping, is seeing that they're wrong, but we've got to help this situation. You know, Abigail, she didn't have to go. No. Abigail, she could have been like her husband, who is the state, 7 days. But instead, Abigail saw, you know what? No, this is not right. The right thing needs to be done here. I want to ask you this. Do you always look to do the right thing? Or do you always look to have your way?
Oh.
Ow.
You know? We wish they were the same.
Yeah.
We want them to be same. I think earlier Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. Abigail knew her husband was wrong. Back in the first part of this passage, this particular scripture passage, it pointed out that Nabal, it defines him as a surly and mean man.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
This was his character.
Yeah.
His hope was in his fortune.
Yeah.
A fortune he didn't build, that he did not build. He inherited from his family.
Yep.
His descendants. But once again, possession, material things, they can puff us up. When I got a little something, I began to think more of myself than I ought to.
Uh-oh. Mm.
This is why God says you need Jesus to intercede for you.
Yes.
Yep.
And you need other disciples to intercede for you also.
Yep.
But the question is this. Will you choose to listen or hear?
Mm.
Will you choose to listen or hear what is right? Or will you choose to listen or hear what you want to hear? I think we have to be careful, as it's pointed out in 1 Timothy. We don't want to get our ears scratched.
Yeah.
And we want to turn away from what's right, what's true. And we want to find the people who scratch our ears and tell us what we want to hear and make us feel good. Turn me over to Mark 5, I think I said.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another great thing about gratitude, being grateful. We're going to go back and finish over 1 Samuel. But so we talked about protection there. But you know, gratitude also should elicit a response from you.
That's right.
A righteous response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A response to say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be like me no more because I know me.
Amen.
Come on.
You know, I had an incident recently. I guess an incident. I'm glad they respond. With the HOA. And I had to pray. And I know what it's like when something's sticking in your heart. So my son came over with his with our grandchild on a Sunday. And he had the driveway blocked up. And I think the Cobanks and Newman, they've been at their household in Rankin. So they know the driveway's kind of narrow. So my other son moved his car away into the grass. Okay, so you can't park on the grass. The grass is up, so my son getting it. And he left it there. But that's that. So my son left, and I seen the car there. I said, well, he's going to go to work later on that night. He's going to go to work. So he goes, don't hear nothing about it at all. Then my landlord sends me a text with an email. And so I'm going to show you how things bother you. And I had to work through things. I said, let me think. So the car was parked at a place like behind, we have a big old tree right there, and he's had a car like that. So she walked down to get that picture. You had to walk down the driveway to get that picture of the car on the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And then she walked down, you had to walk down. We got a table to sit in the backyard of the car for it, all outside the grass. And had to throw it away, and she took a picture of that. And she sent it to the landlord, and the landlord sent me a text. He said, man, I know. I know it's difficult, wow. Man. Just watch it, you know, man. Can you, just watch it. I said, okay. I said, so God, we need to work on Sydney Docker right now, because I'm feeling some kind of way. I said, we got to work on me. I said, so how should we respond? Should we deal with this? How should we really deal with this? I said, number one, I'm wrong. Even if my son parked there for a minute, I'm wrong. Because the rule is, you can't park on what?
The grass.
But my mind says, it's only for 5 minutes. It's only for 5 minutes. Come on.
Yeah.
Sydney, you can't. And then say for 5 minutes or 2 hours, you just can't. I had to wrestle with that. Because I wanted to be human to be Sydney. But who am I called to be like? Jesus. God knows. Boy, I wrestled with that thing all day Sunday. I wrestled with it last night and sleep woke up. I said, Lord, I'm not sleeping well. I woke up 2 hours and it's not sleeping well. And God said, God said, I have no issue here. You need to get over it. You're just wrong. No matter how you feel. Mm-hmm. And I always think about, and I think I shared this one with you, I always think about the things that I preach about. You want to do what's right.
Yep.
What's right, please, God. You need to get over this city, God. Let it go.
Yep.
I said, Lord, but she won't do it under. I took a picture of this table. Don't matter. You need to get over it. Get over it. In Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for God. Because if there was no God, I'd probably be across the street. Conflict, whatever, all kind of names. But in that whole situation, gratitude is about God is constantly protecting me from me.
Yeah.
Because if I tell you guys one thing, I know Sidney Doctor. I know that old guy. And Sidney Doctor said, remember, we killed that guy. We're not going to raise that guy back up. That guy's dead.
Amen.
And God reminded me, you need to be grateful for God. And God reminds me to do the right thing. So I told my son this morning, I was pulling out, and he pulled over to the grass and said, hey, don't pull on that grass no more. Please don't do that. And he said, yeah, she talked to me too. I said, well, yeah, don't do it. Just pull out the road, we'll be fine. He said, okay, and we went on by our way. Because it's the right thing to do. It doesn't matter if he's letting me out, he didn't want to pull out to the road. Don't do it. That's the right thing. You know, here we talk about in Mark chapter 5, a man who's demon-possessed. Oh, we all feel like we have demons, don't we? Oh, God, demons always getting at me. I feel like demons getting at me. So this guy's demon-possessed. He's got a demon in him called legions, which means many demons.
Yeah. Right.
And he's been dealing with it for a long time. He's been living in a gravesite, tombs. And he spends his time cutting himself. Just could not imagine. Cutting himself. Just cutting himself always. And so Jesus comes along, and it's amazing. These demons called legions, they recognize who Jesus is.
Right away.
But then I thought about it. What is the demon at its core?
A spirit.
Think about it. There are angels who became what? Evil and became demons.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they are. It's like, wow. So they recognize Jesus. They run to Jesus. We know you are. We know you're the Son of God. Hey, look. Do us a favor. Don't send us out in the area. Which I'm like, church, I forget his eye. I want to just extinguish him. But he's like, send us in these pigs. 2,000 pigs. Now, if you're the guy and you make your money off bacon, you're going to be struggling a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, man. This is my bacon. He's my ham. He's my pork shoulders. Hold on. So he says, okay. You know, he sends them all in his pig, and all 2,000 pigs go in the water and drown. So the men went back into town. They tell everybody come back. They look at this guy, and they're like, this guy's in his right mind right now. Whoa. Oh, amazing. But it scared them so bad, they're like, look, go away, Jesus. Scared them so bad. Because they used to be away. But let's look at this guy's response. His gratitude. Pick it up in verse 18. It says, after they took Jesus away, it says, chapter 5 of Mark, verse 18, it says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Gratitude When Jesus does something amazing for you, life changing for
you. That's right.
It's time to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
Get a chance to look this word up. I looked at the word decapitalist. I wanted to understand this. Check how busy this man was about sharing his faith with everybody about the life changing thing Jesus did for him. Decapolis then means 10 cities. I was like, whoa! Yeah. 10 cities. That guy was doing a lot of walking. Yeah. I guarantee he's in good shape. But he was so grateful and so fired up about this life-changing moment that he had with Jesus that he obeyed what Jesus told him to do, and he went out spreading the good news about what Jesus did for his life.
Amen.
That's what gratitude looks like.
Yes.
Are you still grateful to this day for the life-changing moment that Wow. you and Jesus had when you made Jesus Lord of your life?
Yes. Amen. Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
How many counties are you going around talking about what Jesus has done for you? Are you excited like this guy here who's like, man, my life was a wreck. It was a mess. It was demon possessed. I was cutting myself. I was not in my right mind. But Jesus has healed me. He has changed me. Amen. And Jesus gave me an order and a directive. He says, go tell everybody what I've done for you.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Are you still telling people what Jesus has done for you?
Mm-hmm.
Or have you reverted and gotten into self?
Oh, no.
We should want to be like this guy.
Yes.
We should want to be like this guy. And we ourselves should be going to our own neighborhoods, our own communities, and then walk next door to the next county, and to the next county, and to the next city, and to the next neighborhood and say, let me tell you about Jesus.
Amen.
And what he did for me. Maybe it's like me 27 years ago. Maybe it's like a few months ago. But let me tell you what Jesus has done for me, because it's still burning to this day of how he's changed my life.
Amen.
Are you grateful
for
the life-changing moment that you and Jesus had when you made Jesus Lord of your life?
Amen.
And finally, in closing, guys, we'll go back over to 1 Samuel 25. So we talk about, you know, you can be grateful for protection, but you also need to be grateful for the life changing moment that you and Jesus had, and how he changed your life. You know, when you think that, I should say, when you think more of yourself than you are to, and when you have no interest in serving others, and you know, serving others, you have to really love to serve.
Yep.
But only you have to really love Jesus. I mean, serving others without expecting anything in return. That's when it gets us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it gets us. I serve, but what's in it for me? It's not true serving.
No, it's
that's not.
It's
not genuine serving.
That's right. Come on.
Now, it's human to like, maybe I can get something out of it. But genuine serving, like, not serve because I love you.
That's
I
right.
Serve you know, I love serving my daughter. I love serving my wife. And yes, they got illnesses. But I always love taking care of my family. I did.
Of course.
You know? Mm-hmm. Even as adults, I love it. I think I get it from my mom. You know, I was talking to my mom yesterday, and I called her up to check on her. My daughter said, how's grandpa doing? And as far as I know, did you call him? I was telling him, did you call him? No, I said, why don't you call your grandparents? You know, they always call me when I know how my mom and dad are doing. Why don't you call them?
Right.
You know, give them a call.
Right.
And so I said, well, let me call my mom. So I called my mom, and my mom is up in New Jersey, and she's checking on a cousin of mine who's in a hospital right now. And she's been there for a month, and they think she's got meningitis because her legs stopped working. So, and they're like, wow. But she's having a desperate just trying to figure out why my legs have stopped working. So, and I said, Mom, where you in New Jersey? My mom said, you know, my legs are working again. You know, she had two knee replacements. She said, my legs back working. So, you know, I'm on the road again. I said, yes, where dad at? Oh, he drove me about 3 hours of the road to meet your cousin. So she flew with me. And that's why my mom loves to travel. So, you know, my daughter, we laughed about that. She said, I called to speak to grandma and grandpa. And my aunt said, you know, ever since she got her legs back, all she do is move around and go traveling. I said, sound like my mom. But you know, but the point I'm making is that I get it from my mom about being grateful for what God has done for me.
Yeah.
Because my mom and dad, they had the ability now financially. And my mom would go in a minute. If family is sick, she going. And my mom said, I'm going to serve. That's what I'm here for, to serve. That's it. And you know, she'd go for a few days. My mom would get up and move when we got sick. She came in for me. She came in for me and my wife, and then Candace and everything. My mom's like, we're going. And that back then when she had her knee problems, get ready to walk, she would go. You know, serving is a great opportunity.
Amen.
Serving somebody else, God will remember you for that. He will remember. He will remember you for like, well, Lord, they didn't serve me, but he's gonna remember you for, guess what? You served them without complaint, and you served them out of love. You really do look like Jesus, my son.
Amen.
Finally, in closing, guys, we're gonna talk about the ball a little bit. So here we go, verse 35. It says, then David, 1 Samuel 25, verse 35, says, then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your requests. Ain't nothing like nobody interceding for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Right. When Abigail went to the ball, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk. You wonder why he didn't notice her packing up all that stuff and going out to jail. Now we know why he didn't know. Because he was in himself and he was feeling himself. And he didn't know. Ain't that something? It says, so she told him nothing at all until daybreak. Then in the morning, when the ball was sober, God wanted to make sure you're clear-minded. His wife told him all these things, and his heart failed him. And he became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck the ball, and he died. It doesn't do no good to be mean nor serving.
No.
It does no good to live a life of just being ungrateful.
Nope.
He had a lot. He could have spared a lot. Mm. But he chose not to. He chose to be selfish. He chose to think about himself.
Yep.
And what he wanted. And what he wanted, what he needed. But he did not think about himself. Especially God's anointed, David. Now it could be said there may be a little loyalty from here towards Saul. But still, everybody else knew David was the new incoming king. He was God's anointing. Everybody knew that Saul had failed the position and God was moving on from him. Although Saul was still anointed, God was moving on from Saul, moving toward David.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For you and I, the question is you have to ask yourself going forward. Will you live a life of gratitude or a life of selfishness? Will you be a giver or be a person who always takes? Will you be like Jesus? I'm here to serve, and I have no interest in being served. And I want you to understand, you'll always be served, whether or not you're looking to be served or not. Some people always serve me. This hotel provides for us all the time. There was somebody that leaves stuff around. I figured it out. I don't complain. I say, well, I can take care of this. You know, but people are always serving me. Always serving me. But you have to choose how you're going to be going forward. Are you going to be more like Jesus and serve others and give others? Are you going to be grateful for the fact that Jesus allows you to serve, allows you the opportunity to give? Are you going to be grateful for the fact knowing that people are interceding for you and on your behalf always? And are you going to take the time to intercede for them? Your prayers are always needed.
That's right.
Your prayers are valuable.
Mm-hmm.
They just are. You know, the ball, he was foolish. He was mean. He was surly. He was puffed up. He had a lot. And he just didn't do right. But God shows us an example of a person. They just have to be able to give. That God said, guess what? If somebody intercedes for you, you should be grateful.
Right.
If somebody steps in the gap to take a bullet for you, you should be grateful.
Yep.
Abigail is a prelude to the example of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
As I said earlier, mercy is what God gives us so that we don't get what we truly deserve for our simple and wretched nature.
Yep.
But also mercy is God's blessing, God's love, holding back what we truly should get for who we are.
Yep.
I want you to be grateful for protection. I want you to be grateful for the life-changing moment that you had with Jesus. And I want you to be grateful for the fact that somebody, somewhere, right now, is interceding for you.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen. 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 Amen.